Good morning to all of you. We're glad that you're here at Grace Bible Church today. And in our call to worship, we are going to be going through the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 over the next few weeks as we walk through them. But I want to lay the groundwork as our Lord begins to share them by reading verse 1 and 2 of Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. Now, he saw the multitudes of people, but he needed to speak to his disciples first. I think it's important for us to understand that the Beatitudes that were shared with the disciples was to prepare them for their work with the multitudes. Understand that. The whole teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, which did go out to the multitudes, had to have a level of preparation in the hearts of the disciples because they would be ministering also along with Jesus Christ. Have you ever felt ill-prepared to do a job, to do something, and you just felt like, I'm not ready to do this? Put on the spot, perhaps, and you're just not ready to do it, and you start praying profusely before God, Lord, I need your help. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this or not. Or maybe you're the student in math class that gets called upon to come up to the board and to work a problem. And you don't even know what the teacher was talking about to start with. And you get really embarrassed. There's been a few times that I've been really embarrassed up there at the chalkboard and drawing stick figures and things because I didn't know what in the world I was doing. But you've felt that emptiness when you stand there of like, my brain is completely empty. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to write. I don't know what to do. Well, I want to tell you something. It can be a little overwhelming in this world to deal with all the people and the problems and struggles that people are going through. And sometimes you say, Lord, I don't know how to help them. I really don't know how to help and to assist. And that's kind of like what the Lord did to help his disciples along. You're going to be dealing with these multitudes. I'm going to be ministering chapters 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. He was going to be ministering, but he also ministered to the men who would be ministering to the people. And I'm thankful for that. He comes alongside and he helps us to understand with these Beatitudes here. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. What's the first one of the Beatitudes? All right? Not blessed are those that are advanced in their education. Blessed are those that have multiplied degrees and have all kinds of... No, it says blessed are the what? Poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know what he's saying to his disciples? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are those that are poor in spirit. We all know what being poor is. We've all had a taste of that, I'm sure, in our lives here upon this earth, of not having something and not having enough of something. Well, you know what? God wants us to be poor in spirit. He wants us to humble ourselves before Him. And what's the gift for those who do? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, you'll have everything beyond measure. Be careful in this world that as you minister to people and that as I minister to people, I'm right there in the midst. This is talking to me. That we are aware, that we are looking for ways in which we can help, not to impress, but to what? To help. That's the the statement of our Lord. You disciples that are there, you're going to get frustrated with the multitudes. Did the disciples ever get frustrated with the multitudes? You remember what they told them with their children? You're not welcome right here. You all move along. The master, you know, and he said, well, suffer the children to come unto me. They were frustrated. They were ready to go home. I know what that feels like. You get to the point where I'm just ready to go home. Close the door and go into my little solace cell where there's peace, you know. I understand that. We all get there. But God wants us to humble ourselves, poor in spirit. And the gift for those who are humble and poor in spirit is the kingdom of heaven. God help us in this regard as we seek to minister to the multitudes. They're all around us. They're all around us. That God would help us to have the right kind of spirit to do that.
Good morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. Please take your hymnals, turn to 362. Song 362, There is Power in the Blood. We're going to sing the first, the third, and the fourth verses. Stand with me, please, when you find your place.
Would you be free?
Singing this morning.
Let's bow our heads together for prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this morning, a very needy people. We have many friends who are going through difficulty at this time, and Lord, we just need your grace, your comfort, your peace to be manifested in their behalf. We pray, dear Father, that as we've gathered here today, that our hearts and minds would be tuned to your word. Let us put aside all the things and the busyness of today and this coming week, and help us, dear Father, to focus in this time upon Thee, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord, our Mediator, the One who is coming back soon to take us to be with Thee. Lord, I pray that You would accept our singing, that You would accept our praise and adoration, that we would truly give it to You this morning, that we would not have our minds wandering about, thinking about all kinds of other things, but Lord, may we focus upon Thee. Lord, we thank You that we have a place to gather today, and we pray Your blessings upon the Word of God as it's given. Lord, we know that Your Word is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray that the Word of God would do its work today. Lord, You know the individual need of everyone that's gathered here and those who are listening by way of Facebook Live and those that will hear it on the radio. You know every one of the needs that are there. And Lord, You're the only one that can meet those needs. I pray that You would bring an awareness to our hearts of the areas that need to be corrected, those areas in which we need to receive rebuke, those areas that we need to step out and to help others and to minister to their souls. We pray, Father, that You'd help us not just to do our duty, by showing up on a Sunday, but rather, Father, we might understand our duty that carries throughout the remainder of the week. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to have grateful hearts, but also help us to share your word with those around us. Lord, we think about those today who could not be with us because of sickness or illness. We know that there are many that are suffering from strep and other illnesses that are in our area. We just ask, Father, for healing in their behalf. Pray that you would encourage them today and that you'd strengthen them and allow them to recover. We think, Father, of many other requests. We think about those that are going through loss right now. We just pray that you would strengthen and encourage them. We pray for our country, dear Father. Lord, our hearts are ill over the fact that we have turned away from Thee. We think about the advancement of evil and lawlessness that we have seen in our country. We no longer witness the blessing of God. We have the vestiges of liberty and freedom that we have enjoyed for many, many years, but those are slipping away from us, Father. Help us, Lord, to realize that it's a turn away from Thee and from Thy Word that has caused this. This is the consequence. Help us, dear Father, to be alert to that so that we can reach out to our family and friends and those that need the gospel and share that with them. And on an individual level, see them come to Christ. Help us, Father, to be faithful in that regard of sharing your word. And we pray, Father, for those that serve on the local and state levels, federal government, that you would cause an awakening to come to them, that they would turn to thee before it's too late, and that they might know the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We think of our men and women who serve in the military all around the world. And many of them today are in very dangerous places, places in which there could easily begin a new war. We pray, Father, for them today that you would be with them, encourage them, strengthen them. We know many that are in the military that have come through this ministry who are serving thee in different places around the world. And we would just ask for your protection upon them today. Help them to be faithful to thee and faithful witnesses. Now, Father, bless our service today. Bless your word. May it return unto thee, having accomplished the work that you have, and not return unto thee void, but that the work might be done that you wish to do in hearts today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated, and as you're being seated, please take your hymnals and turn to Song 400. Song 400, it's a song about peace, peace that only the child of God knows, like a river glorious. We'll sing all three verses of 400, like a river glorious.
Thank you.
Take your hymnals, if you will, with me, please, and turn to page 443. Song 443, what a day that will be. We're only going to sing stanza number one, but please stand with me when you find your place.
God's people said amen. Amen. Appreciate that. Beautiful. That's one of the most difficult instruments in the world to play. And Joy does a tremendous job with that. We appreciate that so much. Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. While you're turning there, I'm going to bring over my board. How many of you watch Fox News and see the guys that always have their little whiteboard? They'll do that during election time. They've got all their stuff like that. Well, I've got a bigger whiteboard than they do. Okay, I don't know if I can spell as good as they do, but we will try. But I want to talk to you this morning from verses 7 and 8 on the danger of counting incorrectly. The danger of counting incorrectly. Now, some of you taught me in school, and you know that my math skills were not the best. You know, there are three kinds of people in the world. There are those who know how to count and those who cannot. Some of you were right there with me in school, right? You had to think about that one, okay? And for those who love history, which historical king loved fractions? Henry VIII. I'm dying on the vine here. Which number Which number cannot sit still in one place? The Roman numeral. Roman numeral. These just killed in school. And yet here, death. Well, anyway, counting is an important thing. We've got kindergarten graduation coming up, and every year we have the students. They come up and they count by ones, they count by fives, they count by tens. And I got to do that whenever I was in K-5, and I didn't have to take my shoes off to do that. And, you know, counting is such a normal thing of life. You have to be able to balance your checkbook. You've got to be able to count correctly when things really matter. And one of the things that we're going to be dealing with from this particular passage of Scripture that's leading up to what I believe is the theme central verse of the book of Philippians, verse 10 of chapter 3, there are some of the dangers that we face in this world. We talked about the danger of false religion early on in this chapter. Those who put all their stock in false religion, only to find out that it's all wrong. It's error. Then there are those that put their faith and trust in pedigree. We spent a lot of time in a service a few weeks ago dealing about Paul's pedigree. And if there was anybody that could trust in their pedigree, it was the Apostle Paul. And yet Paul says, that's not worthy of trust. And yet there are many people that trust in their pedigree. They think they're going to heaven on the merits because of their parents. Their parents were believers. And so, therefore, I'm a Christian because my parents were believers. Do you understand that that's false? That's false. You don't want to hang your eternal soul on that wrong information. You want to know the truth, don't you? There's another problem in regard to what we dealt with on the pedigree issue, and that's on counting correctly. I want to read to you verses 7 and 8 of Philippians chapter 3, and I want us to see the importance of counting correctly. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I, say that word please, counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count. By the way, that's in the present tense. I am counting. All right? So we read it that way. Yea, doubtless, I am counting all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, waste, refuse, that I may win Christ. Counting correctly. Beware of the danger of counting incorrectly. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd bless your word today. Lord, we're going to touch on some things that seem very obvious, and yet for some people it's a struggle, a major struggle. I pray that you would help us to count things correctly and to realize the gain that's found only in Jesus Christ. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Charles Spurgeon said of verse 7 many, many years ago, Paul was skilled in spiritual arithmetic and very careful in his calculations. He tallied up his accounts with caution and observed with a diligent eye his losses and his gains. Now there's a couple of things that I want you to realize as we begin this study this morning that I think are very important. Number one, our Lord desires to be worshiped by every nation, every tribe, every kindred, every language group. That's His desire. The Bible mentions that in several places, that He desires their worship. Let me ask you a question. Is the Lord Jesus Christ worthy of that worship? Yes, indeed. Now that begs another thought here. If our Lord Jesus Christ gets that worship, we need to understand something. It is going to cost you and me something that we are not yet paying. Is he worthy of that? Now let me say this again. We don't think this way. But this passage here makes it very clear that Paul paid a very, very sacrificial price to have Christ. He had to write off everything as loss. But it really didn't matter to him because what he got was more than he could ever describe, and that is in the person of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is worthy of our worship, it is going to cost you, it's going to cost me something that I'm not paying yet. We've got believers in Myanmar that are learning that lesson. I've got a messenger account filled with pictures of fleeing Christians, weaponry that was left behind and discarded by the military that they're using, all of it Chinese made. Very interesting. Targeting of Christians. 60 Christians lost their life last week in Bago, Myanmar. They had to pay something that they had not paid yet. What did they have to pay to follow Christ? They had to pay with their lives. You see, folks, this counting business is poor. Remember what the Lord said to the disciples? Count the cost. Count the cost of following me. You see, folks, following Jesus Christ is not on the cheap. And this is where a lot of Christians, they don't figure correctly. They're not counting correctly. They want to follow Christ on the cheap. They don't want too many demands on their time, and they don't want too many demands on their wallet. They don't want any demands on having to exercise themselves in a sacrificial way. But I want to tell you something. If you're a born-again child of God, there are some things that you aren't paying yet that are going to come due. Are you willing to suffer loss so that you can gain Jesus Christ? Now, it's easy to throw out amen, brother! That's me! Until they're standing at your door. Some government agency. That's happened this week where a church in Canada had the government of their province take and put an 8-foot chain link fence all the way around their church because they dared to meet after they were told no meeting in church. Do you know what the infection rate is in that province right now? Less than 2%. They haven't chain-linked anybody else. They haven't chain-linked any of the stores. They haven't chain-linked any of the convenience stores. They haven't chain-linked the box stores. But they're putting an 8-foot fence around a church because they met last Sunday and worshiped God. They weren't even at 50%. But they met. Think of the loss. Think about it. If the government came here and shut the doors and put a fence around this and said, you can't worship your God. And yet we looked around and noticed that Walmart doesn't have it. It's not locked. It's wide open. Home Depot, Lowe's. Go to all the different stores. They're all open, but you can't worship at church. Are you willing to suffer loss for the cause of Christ? If Jesus Christ is worthy of our worship, there are some things that we're going to have to pay that we haven't paid yet. And it's high time that the church today realize this. The chain link was real around the church up there in Alberta. It's real. The pastor is really in jail today because they put the fine so high he couldn't pay it. And what was his offense? He proclaimed Jesus Christ from the pulpit of a church that wasn't even half filled. But it's okay to go shopping and walk the aisles. It's okay to do that. But it's not okay for you to worship. Do you understand where we are in the world today? Do you understand that? There are churches in California right now today that even though the Supreme Court ruled that they overreached with the churches, they still have fines. Because they are still meeting. They're being fined. Some of the churches have been fined into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Understand where we are today. That if Jesus Christ is worthy of our worship, it's going to cost us something. Have you considered the cost this morning? I want to take you on the journey of the loss-gain spreadsheet of the Apostle Paul. I don't have a fancy spreadsheet. I'm just going to use my whiteboard. All right? So I apologize in advance for what I write up here because I'm not the best. But I learned there's two colors on a balance sheet. Mr. O'Pager, what does the red stand for?
Loss.
What does black stand for?
Gain.
All right? We even got it color-coded. I remember many, many years ago, there was a man in our church. We were going through some difficult financial times, and he got up to pray, and he said, "Oh, Lord, please help us to operate in the red." And I don't know if it was Mr. O'Pager that spoke up, "Black, brother, black!" Yeah. You remember that? Remember that? Yeah. "Lord, help us to operate in the red." Brother, we want to operate in the black. We want to make money. We don't want to lose money. So I'm going to do red. Loss. And I got a pen that does it right. I got this out of a package, brand new package this morning, and it does it right. I should have checked. Their thing. Can you make that out? All right. No, you can't. Caitlin, would you go see if you can find me one that works? I'm going to see if the black writes. Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah, we want that. All right, loss and gain. I want you to think about what the Apostle Paul counted as loss, counted as dung, refuse. Think about his past. All right? Think about his past. He was a college-educated man, sat at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the leading rabbis, teachers of the law in Israel's history. He's referred to many, many times by Josephus, the Jewish historian, about the greatness of Gamaliel and his students. And Paul was one of them. You know what Paul said? "I count all that loss." How about the fact that he rose from levels of, here she comes, blessings upon thee. Thank you. Two of them. All right, here we go. By faith. Number one, education. Paul said, "I count that loss. For the excellency of whom? Christ." All right? How about his status? How about his status? He was a Roman citizen, was he not? Not just, you know, one that he purchased, but this was one that was from being a freeborn Roman citizen. All right? So, his citizenship. Went in the loss category. I don't know about you, but I'm proud to be an American. I am so thankful that God in His grace allowed me to be born in Milton, Florida. Now, some people would say that's not too good to be thankful for that. Okay? Redneck capital of Santa Rosa County, Milton, Florida, you know. But I want to tell you something. I'm thankful that I live in the state of Florida during a pandemic. You know, people are streaming into our state because they love our governor. And they want to have the blessing that they've been shut off and cut off and everything else. But, you know, our citizenship is pretty important. I've had the privilege of getting to do some traveling in my time, and I've walked into these immigration rooms. I went into Haiti, and I was escorted off the plane along with Pastor Freeburg. He was Pastor Long, and I was Pastor Short. He was 6'7", and I'm 5'7", so I look like a mutton Jeff walking in there. But we went in there and sat down because we were the two white people that were on the plane from the United States of America. And I pulled out my passport, and I put it down. They were looking for money. So I reached my cell phone out, and I called Royden. I said, Royden, we're in this side room. Is that normal? And he said, Pastor Todd, I'll be there in a few moments. I'll knock on the door. He made his way in, started banging on the door where we were at. And he came in, and he began to speak to them and so forth like that. And they handed our passports back. Go. They were looking for money from the Americans. We didn't give them any. But I want to tell you something. In spite of the fact that we're a citizen of the United States of America and with all the rights and privileges that go with that, and we're all thankful for that, you know what category it goes in? Loss. What's another area? Religious status. Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, all right? He was part of the ruling body, the Sanhedrin. He had worked his way up into a position of religious power. And by the way, in Israel at that particular time, you know, the government and religion were all one, all right? A theocracy, much like Islam. Islam is a religion that's also a government. And they are inseparable. They're intertwined with each other. And he had great power and great position in so much that it was sanctioned that he could take somebody's life for being a Christian. He could order the death of a man by the name of Stephen and hold the coats of those that were picking up stones and throwing them at Stephen, crushing his skull and ending his life. He had great power. He had great power. What column does it go on? Loss. Loss. You think about one other thing here, and I could go on with the list right now. Chosen of God to minister to the Gentile. You said, oh, wait a minute. You're going to put that on that side? You know how many preachers are so enamored with themselves because of their positions? The Reverend Doctor, they love to do those titles and so forth like that, refer to themselves. I sent off one time, ordered some books from a church in California. And I sent a check, and when the check came back, it was signed by the author, the pastor that was there, and he wrote down all of his degrees behind all his name, signing his check. Two lines, okay? Bachelor of Divinity, Master of Divinity, Doctor of Religious Education, Doctor of Ministry. He wrote them all down on his check. And I'm sure the people at the bank said, "Whoo, man, look at this man." Because they were the only ones that were going to read it. Okay? It did come back to me later on. I got to see it. But he was very impressed with himself. God chose Paul on the road to Damascus, plucked him out, said, you've been killing Christians. I'm going to make you a missionary to Christians. All right? I'm going to make you a missionary to the Gentile nations of the world. It's going to cost you, Paul. I want you to notice, please, the language of the Scriptures here, because this is important to see. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count What's that next little three-letter word? All things. I'm chosen of God to be a missionary, an apostle, born out of due season to the Gentiles. After all, you know, if I don't honk my own horn, nobody else will. Isn't that kind of the mentality that we have in this world today? I got to honk my own horn because if I don't, nobody else is going to honk my horn. And I want people to know. The Apostle Paul said, I count all things. Notice what he says about all things. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, refuse, that I may win Christ. Like I said, I could go on and list several other things that would go under the all category, but because of the sake of time, I've only got 5 minutes left. I don't have a long list to put over here on this side. I just have one. Say it, please. The matchless name of our Savior, Christ. Now notice, all material things, all social status things, all education things, all financial things, everything that are counted dear in this world, Paul says, that's all loss. And what's on the other side? Oh, it's not a long list, but it's an all-inclusive list. Because it's a person. And I want to tell you something, there's danger, folks. There's danger! Don't you want to be warned about danger? I was following, there's a gentleman up in Virginia that does research on Civil War battlefields, and he has permission from the state of Virginia to go onto battlefields, and he is able to metal detect and to dig in certain areas. Some areas they can't go into, but certain areas. And he was out recently doing some research at night and didn't realize it, but he stepped on a rattlesnake. He wears leggings everywhere he goes because he knows that they're out there and so forth like that. But he stepped on, the next morning they came out, he had stepped right on the head of the rattlesnake and killed it. He posted a picture of it. Rattlesnake was 4.5 feet long. Big old head on it. But he had his big steel-toed boots on, and he was out there walking, and he landed just so his heel landed right on the head of the snake, crushed it, and he kept right on going. And the next morning, they see this snake laying out there and said, what happened? He said, I must have stepped on it last night when we were moving. He said, this is what he said. He said, I didn't realize the danger in the dark. I didn't realize the danger in the dark. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We're living in a dark world, dark times. And you better make sure that you have Christ this morning. I'm not talking about, well, I know about Him. I'm familiar with Him. After all, I grew up in church and my parents were Christians. I know all about Jesus. There are a lot of people that are in hell this morning that know about Jesus too. The Bible says that the demons tremble and believe if they're not going to heaven. And if you were to bring Satan in here this morning, he believes in Jesus too. But it's not the belief of faith. It's the belief that He's the existent one and He's got to take him down in order to be able to be supreme. That's what the devil thinks. He'll never win. Praise God. He'll never win. He's defeated. But the Apostle Paul said, all these things that I thought were gain, that in this world are gain, they are. Let's just be honest. These things right here, education, citizenship, religious status, you know, special calling of God, these are all things that we look at and say, those are gain. But Paul said, I count them all as loss. They're dung, refuse, that I might have the knowledge of Christ. Now, why is this important? Because we're moving up to verse 10. Verse 10. Verse 10 is the theme verse of the book of Philippians. that I may know Him. Who is Him? That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. How is Paul counting? He's counting on the fact that the most important thing that you can do in this world is to know Christ. And there are people that sit in churches all, and there may be some here this morning, people that sit in churches all around the world, they don't know Christ. They got religious status, positive citizenship, great education. Maybe they're even called, so to speak. They've got positions of authority within religious circles. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't know the person of Jesus Christ, this is all for naught. Even though you would put it over here, under the gain column, it really is underneath this right here. But there's something else that we need to remember about what Paul is saying here. Notice the present tense in verse 8. That's brought out here in this passage. This is so important. Yea, doubtless. In other words, there's no doubt that this is true. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. That word, I count, is in the present tense. It says, I am counting. I continue to count. That's the idea behind this word. Present tense, and it's active, it's continuing, it's going, I am continuing to count. You know, some people stop counting in their Christian walk. They stop counting. They'll do this for a little while, and then all of a sudden, the list flips. Isn't that amazing? I heard about this week, someone was bemoaning, they were telling me the story of a pastor that they knew that now has gone off into the world, wickedness, lawlessness, pastored the church for many, many years, supposedly led all kinds of people to Christ, and now totally against the things of God, wants nothing to do with Christianity, and you say, what happened? This was never true. It was never true for them. This was all that they were about. This was over here in this column. This morning, I want you to examine, am I counting as loss everything, all things, for the excellency of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're not this morning, you need to fall to your knees and you need to cry out to a holy God and say, God, be merciful to me. Lord, I'm counting wrong and I want to count right. Try to run your bank account, putting the wrong things, you know, putting the debits in the positive column. How's that work? It won't. And it won't work here either. It will not work. You got to count all things. I'm going to say that again. You've got to be counting all things as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's how important it is. If you don't get the counting right, when you get to verse 10, you'll just blur through it and you won't understand it. You won't understand that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering being made conformable unto His death. You won't understand that because you're counting wrong. Won't be important. Won't be necessary. And you'll miss the heart and soul of why Paul wrote this book to the church at Philippi. May God help us this morning. May God reach down from heaven and transform some souls this morning at Grace Bible Church. May God transform some thinking. May God transform some calculating. And may we start counting correctly. Father in heaven, I thank You so much for Your Word. These two verses are so, so important to understand how we ought to think and how we ought to value the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you would do a work in our hearts, every one of us here, that we might count correctly. Oh, we love to talk about ourselves. We like to talk about our accomplishments. We love to talk about what we're going to do and this, that, and the other. And we've got this status and that status. The whole world is geared that way. Education today has become a thing where you don't actually learn. You just get the status of a degree title. How sad that we've come to that place. It really doesn't matter how much knowledge you have. What matters is that you have the status, so you can put it over in the gain column. Father, without Christ, it's all loss. And we have to learn to count it that way. I pray that you would work in our hearts this morning. There's so much truth to be gathered here. There are some things we haven't paid yet. Lord Jesus Christ is worthy of all our attention, all of our worship. And yet there's some areas that we haven't paid yet. I pray that you might help us to be willing to pay, to count it all as loss for the excellency of Jesus Christ. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Please take your hymnals and turn to 315. Song 315, we're going to sing Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary, just the very first verse of 315. Stand with me, please, when you find your places. We'll sing all together on that first verse.
Days are filled with sorrow.
Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, for the opportunity we have to come into your house and worship you, for the message we just heard. And Father, I pray that you'd help us each to take this message to heart, that we'd apply it to our lives, that as Paul did every single day, we would count our losses, all of our gains but loss, for Christ. Father, we want you to have the preeminence in our life, the highest place of honor in our life, and not just the highest place of honor, but the only place of honor. And so, Father, we pray that our pride would not get in the way, that all of our earthly accomplishments would never get in the way of our following you. We pray that, Lord, we would take these words to heart and apply them. Please bring us back again safely tonight. We pray that you'd keep us safe as we go our separate ways, and we ask that you'd receive honor and glory in our lives. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.